Now, if you read on with me, and I'm sticking close to the text here, read on into verse 13. Well, let's back up a little bit just to get the connection. As many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now, let's pause at that comma, which were born. Whatever it is, you have to be born. You believe, you receive, you lay hold upon the promise, and you're born. That's what the text says. And then it makes it very clear, you're born not of blood, not family relation, nor of your own willpower of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not the forces of man. So what are you born of? Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio broadcast of our church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And it is a joy for me, Ian Gollaher, to bring the Lord's Word again today to you, wherever you may be. And I appreciate the fact that you tune in to this broadcast, perhaps day by day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. You can also hear our Sunday morning program at 9:30. That's a full hour, 1 hour church service at 9:30 a.m. on this station. But we'll give you all those announcements toward the end of the program. On our message today, we're dealing with Jesus, the light of the world, John chapter 1. John 1, of course, is that grand, great statement concerning the deity, the person, and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a couple of verses and you will learn of the attributes of Jesus, the man of God, the Son of God. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the one who must give you life. So today, stay tuned as we turn to the pulpit of our church to let the Bible speak. Are you a believer today? Have you accepted Jesus, the light of the world? He is sovereign light. Now we're moving to his spiritual light. He's the light of men by giving spiritual light. We have this example of the blind man, and what a great help this is to our understanding of these things. And he was given physical eyes to see things around him, to enjoy the light shining on objects that he could now comprehend with his eyes. But it was still in the physical world. But Jesus is the light of the world spiritually because he came from heaven. He didn't come just to show us and give us a better perspective like a microscope of earthly things. Jesus came from heaven to reveal the Father, to reveal glory unto the hearts and the minds of men. And you'll see this in John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So this was the ministry of our Lord coming into the world as the light of men to reveal the Father, because the knowledge of God was lost. Do you know God? Do you know who He is? Do you know His perfections? Do you know His grace? And because men were distant from God, cut off from God, Jesus has come to be the light of the world. And it's the knowledge of God that saves our souls. John 17:3, our Lord Jesus prayed that this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And when God saves a soul, He shines His glory into our hearts. It's spiritual light. Turn with me to Acts 7 and verse 1. Here is a reference to Abraham. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan, dark world, and without the knowledge of God. And what happened was, Acts 7, verse 2, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Abram got a sight of God's glory. And you know, that has to happen in every darkened soul that will be saved. Without something of that knowledge of God in His reality conveyed to your soul, you're lost, blind, hopeless. Therefore, the great need is to know the Father. And Jesus has come as the express image of the Father to reveal the knowledge of the Father. And so I ask you again, do you know God? And the way to know Him is through the Son. He has come to reveal the Father. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And Paul said that we behold that glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we present to you today, for your faith, the Lord Jesus. By looking to Him as the object of your faith, He reveals to you the knowledge of God the Father. How does this happen? Well, let's think of Nicodemus in John 3. And we have this interview of a religious Jewish rabbi teacher, and he comes to Jesus by night, and what happens? He gets born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He has no eyes, he has no comprehension of spiritual things. He cannot comprehend the kingdom. He needs spiritual eyes. And what happened to Nicodemus? He was born again. He got spiritual eyes. He was able to look unto Jesus. And in John 3:14, which is still speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said that even as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, that by which they were healed, Jesus was lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him may have eternal life. And so this is now Jesus doing the work of the light, the life giver, shining the light of the gospel into the hearts of men. And this is the urgent need of your heart. You must be born again. This is a new creation. This is new life entering into your soul. And of course, you receive that from the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, we're coming up to the Christmas season, and we are looking forward to preaching on the incarnation, the Lord Jesus coming into the world. But think of the many prophecies concerning Christ, that He is the light of the world. He is the bright and morning star. And the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And you think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus as he revealed the Father, revealed heavenly things, opening their understanding and hearts, he is indeed the light of the world. And he gives light to every man that believes on him. That brings me to point number 3, verse 7. That men might believe. That men might believe. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, I have to include verse 6 here because this is all about John the Baptist and his ministry. And there is a clear distinction that John was not that light. John was the preacher. He was the prophet. He was pointing to Jesus. And it's Jesus who is the light. And you'll see the capital L that is given there, that he came to witness, to bear witness of the light. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light. John the Baptist was not that light. He was but a preacher. But he was calling men, pointing them to Jesus, telling them who he is, revealing Jesus to them, that all men through him might believe. Are we bearing witness of that light today? Here we can learn what the preacher's task is, why we have church, why we have the preaching of the Bible. The preacher's task is to preach Christ as the light of the world, the hope of sinners. And as much as and to the degree we accomplish it by presenting Jesus, the Son of God, placarding him before your eyes, causing you to comprehend and see that he is the Savior, the Redeemer, the giver of life, the one who bestows eternal life, we're doing our job as John the Baptist, pointing to the one who is the light. Now, we therefore call you to believe. It's not enough to tell you the one to look to. But we must call you to believe, to trust, and to rest in the Lord Jesus. Now, what happens when you believe? What is going to happen in your soul when you believe and receive the Lord as your Savior? Well, let's look at verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Power. The authority, that means. He gives you the right to claim title to the Son, to be the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I want you to see the emphasis on believing balanced with receiving. And here is the subtle difference between sheep and goats, between believers and those who are just religious, between those who are churchy and those who are heavenly, those who are against the kingdom of God in their own righteousness, and those who have submitted to the righteousness which is alone in the Lord Jesus. Some, even in church, are like the devil. You believe in your head, but never with your heart and your hand. To believe with your head is to say yes to the facts. And I don't think there's anyone here today that if I asked you personally, do you believe the facts? That this man, Jesus, came in a supernatural manner into the world and preached, taught the gospel, shone the revelation of the Father into the hearts of men and women so that they knew God and then died and rose again, that you would deny one of those facts. But so do the devils who believe and tremble. They are highly impacted by the facts. To believe with the heart is to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. That's so different. Come into my life. To believe with your hand, because I'm focusing on the word receive here. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. And this receiving qualifies what believing is. Receiving is believing with your empty hand. It is to take and lay hold upon. And you remember how we define that word believe? Laying hold upon the promise of the gospel. And if you have believed with your heart and your hand, you have taken and laid hold upon Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Now, have you done that? I have to ask you this question. I have to get an honest answer from you. Have you personally received into your heart the Lord Jesus pleading with an empty hand the promise of eternal life? Many in church allow their ears to be tickled. And that's a biblical phrase, by the way. People who have itching ears and they have their ears are tickled. And really, they just play with words. There are some people that like sermons and they want to analyze sermons. They look for the introduction. They look for the very components of a sermon. And they become sermon tasters. But they do not believe and receive the Lord Jesus into their hearts. And all the while, they are but an observer of eternal life. But they don't have it. And so you need to be born of God. Now, if you read on with me, and I'm sticking close to the text here, read on into verse 13. Well, let's back up a little bit just to get the connection. As many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now, let's pause at that comma, which were born. Whatever it is, you have to be born. You believe, you receive, you lay hold upon the promise, and you're born. That's what the text says. And then it makes it very clear, you're born not of blood, not family relation, nor of your own willpower of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not the forces of man. So what are you born of? The verse ends with, but of God. And so if you take away those clauses in between and put them in as in brackets or as qualifiers, which were born of God. That's what it means to believe. That's what it is to have this light, this life of Jesus in your soul. You are born of God. And you thereby have new eyes to know God, and the light comes on. The light comes on, and you're no longer left in the darkness, but you receive new light. And do you know what the newborn Christian often says? How come I didn't see this before? I've been reading my Bible for years. I've been hearing this all the time. But I never saw it as I now see it. That's the great testimony of the new convert. I want to tell you about a man on Glasgow Green. That's the city of Glasgow, in a park-like square where men would stand and preach the gospel. At the conclusion of a gospel address given by a Christian man, a man in the crowd asked permission to say a few words. And liberty was granted, and he spoke somewhat as follows. And he said, friends, I don't believe what this man has been talking about. I don't believe in a judgment. I don't believe in a God, for I never saw either of them. Now, you can understand that would have stirred the crowd to listen. And then another man asked to be allowed to speak, and permission was obtained, and he proceeded as follows. Friends, you say there is a river running not far from this place, the River Clyde. There is no such thing. It's untrue. You tell me there are trees and grass growing around me. Where I now stand, there are no such things. That also is not true. You tell me that there are a great many people standing here. Again, I say that is not true. There is no person standing here but myself. I suppose you wonder what I'm talking about. But I was born blind, and I never saw one of you. And while I talk, it only shows that I am blind, or I would not say such things. And you, he said, turning to the infidel, the more you talk, the more you expose your ignorance, because you are spiritually blind and cannot see. And if you tell me here today that you cannot comprehend the great truths of the gospel and of our Savior, what are you only exposing? Your blindness. And it's because of your blindness we bid you to look unto Jesus. And one look unto Him, you will be healed. I pray that you will be a living witness that Jesus is the life and is the light of men. May the Lord save you and bring you to the cross. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I just want to get into a few excerpts from our study notes on the book of Genesis. We're learning here in chapter 3 of how Satan came along in the form of a serpent and tempted Eve. Satan was created and fell from God early in the history of the world. As a created being placed in a perfect world, Satan was moved by pride to be like God or to even become as God. We read in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And so we see right there that it was pride in the heart of Satan that caused him to rise up and defy God. But of course, God, as the almighty creator and potentate, would have none of it. And so Satan was cast out, and down to earth he came. And here he stalks as a roaring lion. And so the desire to be like God was a very effective means for Satan to tempt Eve. just as he himself sought to be like God, he imagined immediately that Eve would want to be like God, and of course thereby she was deceived, and that became the very point of rebellion that has marked Satan and his minions and those under his wicked influence throughout history. The devil's design was to bring the whole human race into rebellion to God with him. He chose to employ the body of the serpent, which was intelligent and attractive. We certainly know that was true to Eve. The Bible clearly teaches that as the result of Satan's activities, there is continual spiritual warfare between God and Satan. And there are many who think that there's no warfare. They let down their guard. They do not realize that we are in a great struggle to the death. And we need a champion, a savior, to deliver us from the jaws of Satan and from the grave of death. And the Lord has given us this information right here in Genesis chapter 3 to be a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway, that we might know the saving grace and the power of the Lord. And so I want you to take this to heart today and go to Genesis chapter 3 and read these events for yourself. I also want to recommend to you our Bible study notes that are available online. If you go to our website, ltbs.ca, that's Let the Bible Speak, just ltbs.ca. And if you go to Bible Studies Resources, Genesis, you'll find the PDF studies chapter by chapter that will be a guide to you, and you can study them personally, as a family, as a group, or as we do here in our adult Sunday school hour in our church Sunday mornings, 9:30. You'd be welcome if you decide to come along. But I want to exhort you to get right into God's Word, and I believe that these notes will be a help. We have a summary of the passage, a key verse, observations, application, things to do in light of this study, and then some further questions and points to study. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. Stay tuned now for these final few announcements. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. I want to invite you along to our Sunday evening services for our series on the family, the building block of society. God has ordained marriage and the Christian home. But what is a Christian home? What is it to live for Christ in our families? Do come along Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. and we'll be ministering on the series on family. So join us here at the Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S, M1M6. You can go to the website for all the information concerning the subjects, the titles, and the dates, the times, the place here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. And the easy website is LTBS, that's Let the Bible Speak, ltbs.ca, and that'll bring you to our church website. You'll get all the information concerning our church and our radio ministry. So stand with us here as we let the Bible speak each day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m. Tell others, let them know about the radio ministry from our church, and invite them to join with you as you listen in day by day to the ministry of the gospel. And, of course, we're delighted to have you in our church services any Sunday, 10:30, 6 p.m. And over these next weeks, I'm preaching on a series on the Christian home, the Christian family, the building block of the church. Thank you again for joining with us. We look forward to joining with you again as we let the Bible speak.